Okay, shalom everybody. We are just about finishing the Sefer. I have just a couple of Se'ifim left, and we are today in Rav Kook's commentary in Masechet Shabbat on the second parak. Se'if Resh Tzadivav, that's 296. And we'll put on the share screen so that we could see this all together. Here we go. Okay. The Gemara on Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, reads as follows. Amar Rav, Ma'ayan ha-mitaltel tahor, v'zoi be'ira shel Miriam. If you remember last time, we spoke about how Rav Kook gave a beautiful explanation of the Gemara, where the rabbis teach that Miriam's well, that well that gave us water miraculously for 40 years in the desert, it can be seen in the Mediterranean Sea. And today, Rav adds that this idea of a spring which travels is a very unique topic. V'zoi be'Rashi Miriam. Rashi explains, this is the only time that there ever was a spring which was transportable. That usually a spring, by definition, is yatsiv, it is stationary. And that is exactly what Rav Kook is going to talk about. Okay, so again, Amar Rav Mayana mitaltel tahor, if there is such a thing as a spring which is movable, Zoi be'Rashi Miriam, that is talking about the well of Miriam, which is tahora, which can purify and is pure. Usually when we talk about things that move, like kelim, like a cup, like a chair, like most topics, they are mekabel tuma. They can receive this impurification, and because they are because they move. And one of the things that Rav Kook is going to explain today is why is it that something which is set can be holy, can be pure, and something which moves cannot. Okay. Hatiltul gorem le'efsharut ha'tuma lachul. The fact that something is movable, that enables it to become tameh, to become impure. Now, the idea of purity, this is something that we've spoken about, or let's start with impurity. Tum'ah is a lack of life. And on the opposite, a tahara, purity, is life. And when something is not stationary, when something moves from place to place, there is a tendency to have things get lost. It's a lack of permanence. And that lack of permanence, that is a symbol of tuma, of death. So in general, things that transferred from place to place, they can get tuma, they can get impurity. Taharata mayim mikusherati imamakom habatuach shelahem. And conversely, when we want to purify something with a mikveh, the word mikveh literally means a gathering of water. And by definition, it is stationary. As a matter of fact, the biggest, most common problem with mikvehs, I know there was a mikveh in a place in Australia that they found that it was leaking. And when water leaks out, that's called mayim zochalim. Water is that creep or that crawl. And that, by definition, apostles a mikveh. So the idea of a mikveh of purity, it is something that is permanent. It is stationary, just like life or eternity. Eternity is something which doesn't move. It's stationary. So that's what purity is about. V'tarata deyot v'advarim hamistafim mehem. And the same thing when we talk about pure opinions and different ideas that come from them, lefiot pure ideas, lefiot to abitachon anemtza biyesodam. They are pure to the extent that they are permanent. Permanence is an important concept. Maybe let's just jump down. There is a Gemara in Masachet Sanhedrin in Source 5, the Daf Tzadi Bet Amud Aleph, that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to mention this all the time. Ma kadosh, I'll take it from the beginning. Tzadikim she'atid ha-kadosh baruch hu lachiyotam enam chozrim la'afaran. That the tzadikim, the righteous, who after they die, they will be woken up in Triyat HaMetim, in the revival of the dead, and they will not return to dust. In other words, that's forever. Their life is going to be forever. Shne'amar v'ya nishar b'tzion v'anotar b'yushalayim kadosh ye'amer lo. Those who survive all of the problems of the wars of Gog and Magog, and all the difficulties of Chevlei Mashiach, of the birth pains of Mashiach, he will be called holy. Kol ha-katuv l'chayim b'Yerushalayim. They will live forever in Yerushalayim. So there is a connection between kadosh and life, forever. And Chazal say, ma kadosh le'olam kayam, af hem le'olam kayamim. When something is holy, that is inherent. Shabbat, the seventh day of the week, is holy, whether Jews observe it or not. When sun sets, that is Shabbat. The land of Israel is holy. Even if Chas v'Shalom, the Jewish people, are mitame, they don't follow the mitzvot, and they defile the land of Israel, but it still is holy. And the Jewish people, we can act like goyim, but our holiness is inherent. And that is why Kiddusha and Ta'ara are connected with the idea of life, of eternal life. And that's what a mikveh, the fact that a mikveh has to be stationary, that's what it represents. And also pure ideas are stationary ideas. That's the difference between the intellect and the emotional. Whereas the emotional, by definition, is ups and downs. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad. When something is true, it is eternal. And what was true is true today, was true 1,000 years ago, and will be true also 1,000 or 1,000,000 years from now. Getting back to source number one, Ve'en yesod batuach ki'im ladat ha-torah b'ta'arata. And there is no more stable, i.e. pure, i.e. holy, i.e. eternal, idea, as much as the Torah. The Torah is not going to change. Yes, there is the oral law, and the job of the Sanhedrin is to update the halakha, but by definition, the Torah, as God is eternal, his book is eternal, and therefore it lives forever. Ulmuskalota yoter zakot, and all ideas, even philosophical ideas, any idea, maybe even mathematic ideas, any idea which is true and is permanent, hanovot me'or Hashem baruchu, stem from the light of God, ve'amito, and truth. Okay, so what we have seen is that there are several parallel concepts. The idea of tahara goes together with the Torah, goes together with eternity, goes together with life, and that it doesn't change. Paragraph bet. Aval ha-deot ha-mityaldot mirigashot, on the other hand, ideas that are not permanent, some ideas are based on emotion. And again, emotion as ups and downs. Bichlal, the emotion is more connected to the body, right? The heartbeat, your hormones can change your emotions, and therefore, you have to be wary of emotions. Not that they're not important. We learned last week that they're very important. But you have to be a little careful that ideas that stem from feelings, levava adam unatiotav, from different changing aspects, changing in life, changing in the details of a certain thing. Alulot hena likabel tuma. These are more prone to tuma, because by definition they change. Ve'en b'hen gam ken efsharut shel ma'ayan bilti nifsak. And that's why Rav Kook is beautifully explaining the halacha concept that a kli, something which is movable, by definition can receive tum'ah, because by definition it is not permanent, it is not eternal. Kevan shekol kocho enenu ki'im mezeg ha'adam, because the ideas of these ideas that stem from feelings or emotions, they depend on the individual person, merutzat damo, his health, like your health can affect your emotions, your hormones can affect your emotions, v'yaldei yamim u'mikrehem, and also, if the sun is shining, or if it's raining outside, that itself could also influence a person's emotions. Classic example is that they say that in areas like England, where it rains a lot, and people stay indoors, and there's sort of a gloomier, heavy atmosphere, which influences the personalities. Shekulam mugbalim k'tzuvim v'kemutim. All of these emotions and ideas which stem from emotions, they are temporary, they are limited, and they are squished in to a certain area or a time. Paragraph Gimel. Omnam, rak be'ira shel Miriam, but only the well of Miriam, which again gave us water throughout the 40 years in the desert. Maybe I'll already point out that Rav Kook, in his introduction to Ein Ayah, to the book that we're learning, he says he does not call his ideas, he doesn't call them parshanut, a perush, he doesn't call them a commentary, but he calls them a be'ur. Be'ur, Rav Kook explains this from the word be'er. It is a spring which is constantly flowing. And just like the Torah and the ideas that we're learning in the Gemara, they may have been explained a certain way 1,000 years ago by Rashi, or were explained 500 years ago differently by the Maharsha, and 400 years ago they were explained differently by the Maharal, and 100 years ago they were explained differently by the Ben Ish Chai, 150 years ago. So too, a be'er, a be'ur, is something which is constantly living. It is eternal. It is Torah. It is tahara, because tahara is the opposite of tuma. Tuma is death or lack of life. Tahara is life. And the women who are in charge of life in Am Yisrael, it's not a coincidence that Miriam, Bizchuta, because of Miriam's merit, we received the water. Water symbolizes life, and the women are the givers of life, the conceivers of life. Mikor siman haregesh haTorah Yisraeli, and here Rav Kook is shifting into a higher gear. As we saw last time, women have a stronger sense of regesh, of feeling, of emotion, compared to most men. So, if something, as we just said, is based on emotion or feeling, then that is a lack of stability, and apparently would be a lack of tahara, and it could even receive tuma. It could be defiled. And if so, how could this be'er, how could this spring of Miriam purify us throughout the 40 years in the desert? All right, it traveled with us, and when something travels, usually by definition, it can receive tumah, but not the spring of Miriam. Why? Because Rav Kook explains, the regesh, mekor siman regesh haTorah Yisraeli, kefi mashu po'em betaro b'lev Yehudi. Yes, the emotions or feelings are felt as if it were in the heart, where the heart pumps according to the extent that a person is excited. So apparently, At first glance, mishtane b'tzivyo no aprati l'fi matzav aguf v'amezeg. Accordingly, this idea of emotion should change, and that's the way emotion is regarding every people in the world. But in Am Yisrael, in the nation of Israel, it's a little different. Regarding other emotions, l'fi yaldeya yamim amorotehem, according to current events, that's what usually influences emotions. Aval afal pishu mitaltel, but in the people of Israel, even though we're talking about a spring, which is dynamic, which is moving, mikorohu makor ne'eman, the source of the spring of Israel, and the source of the emotions of Israel, is a constant, is an eternal heart. And just like the Jewish people are eternal, our feelings also have that aspect of eternity. Me'olam lo yechazvu me'mav. Here Rav Kook is quoting a pasuk. I brought it for you in source number 3 from Yeshayahu. V'nachacha Hashem tamid v'izbiya b'tzachtzachot nafshecha v'atzmotecha yechaletz. Right, God will help you relax, always relax, and be satiated in your soul. Vatzmotecha yachlitz, and also your health should be proper. Vayita kigan raveh, and you will be like a saturated garden, a well-watered garden. Uchemotza mayim asher lo yichazvu meimav. And just like the spring that we're talking about, which didn't run out of water, the spring of Miriam didn't run out of water for 40 years throughout the years in the desert, so too the Jewish people here in Yeshayahu and Isaiah are likened to that spring of water which will never dry up. Ume'olam, also remember that the Torah is likened to water. Purity. Permanence. Umeolam lo yuchal lekabel tuma, and that is why the Torah does not receive tuma, and that is why the spring of Miriam, even though it moves from one place to the other, this is a yotze min haklal, an exception to the rule, that it is essentially by in unto itself, it is holy. It is water, spring water, which is holy, and even though it is not in one permanent place, its essence is not harmed by this movability. Kimetarohu makor mayim chayim, because it is full of living water. Kinoveahu me'otzara bracha elyona, because we're talking also figuratively about the Torah, which stems from the well, the eternal well of God, and also the well of Miriam. The spring of Miriam also is eternal. Sheladrata Torah ve'oraha tahor, the eternal light of Torah. Ve'inenu ki'imidgale b'tzurat regesh shebalev. And even though sometimes it appears as an emotion, that a person is emotionally connected to the Torah, or emotionally connected to God through prayer, or a certain mitzvah, or a certain occurrence in the news that turns him on spiritually. Avalo rak beze yimale erko. By the Jewish people, it is not just something which is transient. Feelings are not just transient. Al ken tahorum v'na'ala mi'al kol tuma. And that is why this spring, the holy spring of Miriam, is above any kind of death, above any kind of tuma. Shekol ha'yun rigshi yuchal li'shafel. Because most ideas that stem from feelings, again, can sink and can fall, and they're not eternal. Ve'im kol tiltulo ma'ayan hu she'en ketz l'neviato. And even though this be'er, the spring of Miriam, is transferred from place to place, nevertheless, it has that aspect of permanence. It's interesting, Rav Kook has a term regarding the people of Israel, where he calls us that eternal physical nation who walks on two. That even though we walk on two, and everything that walks on two legs eventually dies, and anything living eventually dies, the chidush of the Jewish people is that is not the case. Maybe it's a good time to bring the idea of para aduma. Para aduma is the epitome of tahara, of purity. Because even if a person comes in contact with a dead body, even if a person touches a dead body, that doesn't mean that he's stuck forever. There is a way out of it. That is by burning the ashes of the red heifer, which was done 10 times in the Beit HaMikdash, and then they kept the ashes for many, many generations. And you would take these... What is the idea? A para aduma, a female cow. Female symbolizes life. And also she is red, which is a symbolizes life. It's dynamic, like fire. You could feel its warmth. But when you burn the para, you shech the para aduma, you slaughter it. So now that life has become dead. And then you even burn it until it's ashes, which makes it even more dead and less life. But then you mix it with the water, the living water of the spring, and it's as if it comes back to life. And the symbolism is to teach us that in Judaism, there's no really such thing as death. That when a person dies to the world of the womb, he is born into this world. And when a person dies in this world, he is born into the world to come. And even at the end of the world to come, you get wake up again to Tchiyat HaMetim, for the revival of the dead. And the idea is that even what looks dead, it always comes back to life. That's one of the reasons how Rav Kook explains why the Jewish people count according to the lunar calendar, because the lunar calendar has ups and downs. There is the new moon, and then it gets a little larger, till it's a full moon, and then it goes down. And this is what life is about, that there are all of these ups and downs, but it really is sort of an optical illusion, because we know that the moon is going to come back. So too, even when the Jewish people are sent to exile, it's just a matter of time before we come back. And we were sent to Egypt, and we came back to Israel. And then we were sent to Babylon, and then we came back. And then we were sent to Rome, and we're kicking around a lot of different exiles for 2,000 years. And believe it or not, we are back. And this is the concept of Tahara. When the Jewish people are called a pure nation, because the idea of purity is life. Our life is eternal. And that's why Jews go, even when they die, they go to the world to come. This is the concept of also Kiddushah. Like we also said before in Source 5, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ma kadosh le'olam kayam. When something is holy, that is always going to be holy. The seventh day is always going to be holy, no matter what you do to it. And the land of Israel is always going to be holy, and the Jewish people, and the Torah. And everything that is in the Jewish people is also holy, and is also pure, and the common denominator is eternity, is life. And that is why the women who are in charge of life, typified by Miriam and the Be'er, the symbolism of the water here, that even though you would have thought, because it moves from place to place, that it gets tuma, no, it is stationary. Alkein, tahoru v'na'ala mi'alkol tuma, back to source, to paragraph Gimel, shekol ra'yon rikshi yuchal yishafel, v'im kol tiltulo ma'ayan hu she'en ketz l'neviyato. Excuse me. Here, Rav Kook is referring to another aspect of eternity, the Beit HaMikdash. Let's look, for example, in source number 4, where the Gemara Masechet Brachot learns out from the Pasuk, Lecha Hashem Agdula Vagvura Vatiferet Vanetzach, God has all these attributes, and it says that God's greatness is the splitting of the Red Sea. and in strength is the killing of the firstborns in Egypt. And Tiferet, his glory, that is the giving of the Torah. Vehanetzach, and his permanence, his eternity, ze Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the permanent capital of Jewish people, and it symbolizes Netzach. Yerushalayim symbolizes eternity. And that is also the concept that I brought for you in Source 7, the Pasuk that Rav Kook is mentioning here, in Yechezkel, Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yud Bet, V'alanachal ya'alel sfato mizeh umizeh, kol etz ma'achal lo yibol aleu, v'lo yitom perio l'chadashav, yibaker ki, l'chadashav yibaker, ki meimav min ha'migdash hema yotzim. The water comes from the Beit HaMikdash, v'aya perio lema'achal v'aleu l'trufa. The water that comes from that eternal holiness of Yerushalayim. You know that the Beit HaMikdash, there are different opinions of the land of Israel, that at the end of that, the destruction of the first temple, the land of Israel was defiled. But Yerushalayim, Kidshah l'sha'atah v'kidshah l'atid lavo, Yerushalayim never loses its holiness. And again, now you understand why Rav Kook is connecting this idea of Tahara and Kedusha with the well, the spring of Miriam, with the Mikdash and the water that comes out of the Mikdash, Mikodesh HaElyon HaOlech VaOr, from that high spiritual light, the godly Torah and the godly eternity. Achrei kol ha'masot ha'yoter elyonot ha'sholeit ba'oz nitzchiyoto la'adayad. After even at all of the travails and everything that we've been through, not just in the desert, but for 2,000 years of Jewish history, we still are eternal. Umitaher umitzaref peshetef oz tarato, with the flowing strength of its purity of the spring, v'zoi be'ira shel Miriam. And this is the concept of the spring of Miriam, which even though most things, as here the Bartanura in Source 2 says it very well, michubar lekarke no mitame, if something is connected to the ground, it does not get tuma. Decholah michubar lekarka reyu kekarka, because anything which is connected to the ground, a house, it is connected to the ground, in general, it does not get tuma. Tzaraat is maybe a little different type of tuma. There is actually an interesting question regarding, there's a problem, technical problem, to tovel, to dip electric kumkum chashmali, electric pots that boil water. It's a problem having the electricity get wet. So what do you do when you want to, when you buy it from a non-Jew and you have to tovel it like all kelim? So one of the opinions is that it doesn't need tvila. Why? Because that electric pot only will work when it's connected to a socket. And when it's connected to a socket, then it is connected to the ground, so it doesn't mekabel tuma. Today there is an easier solution. You just go into the Tzomet website, and that way you can be a Yotze according to all opinions, and just give over the electrical appliance. They give it to a non-Jew, they sell it to a non-Jew, it's for 5 shekel, and that exempts the electric appliance from a tvila. Anyway, again, what we see is that when something is connected to the ground, that does not get tuma. But even though Miriam's spring was moving around all the time, in Am Yisrael, the idea of the emotion also is connected with eternal ideas and can be eternally pure and eternally holy. Adkan.